This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I happened to be channel surfing on the radio and came across you reciting the chaplet of Divine Mercy. I actually broke down in tears and have not stopped listening to you and your program every day. Actually, this is the only channel on my radio every day now.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome. We got a lot to get into. I'm going to jump back into programming in a minute here. I got something I want to talk to you about, which is kind of cool. But before we do that, I know if you're on hold, let me try to get a few more calls. If you're just joining me, let me tell you what's going on here. In the days ahead, I'll share a lot more. But today, just if you are tuning in, hot off the press, if you will. Not really. But the good news is that we have launched my Divine Mercy book today. I've been working on a book on Divine Mercy for a long time. And I'll just back up. I mean, for years, I've been in love with Divine Mercy. I was introduced to it when I was a documentary filmmaker, and I was at the Beatification of St. Faustina, and it transformed me personally. It transformed my spiritual life. When my daughter almost drowned, it gave me the peace to trust in God and to see a miracle unfold. It has helped me in so many other areas of my life. It's changed my relationship with God in general. It has deepened my faith. It has deepened my trust, my prayer, my faith. My spirituality, and it will do the same thing for you. Relevant Radio and I, we sat down and said, I really want to continue to promote mercy, and I have this idea for a book, which will introduce everybody into Divine Mercy. It's kind of a 101. If you don't know the history of St. Faustina or the devotion, if you don't know why, mercy is God's greatest attribute, as St. Faustina was told, if you want to learn more about the chaplet, you want to know the history or some of the miracles, you want to share it with somebody else, or you know the Feast of Mercy is coming up, it's all in here, and more. So, we sat down, I said, what do we value the book at? And we thought, we're not going to put a price on this thing. We're giving it away. We're going to trust, which is such the heart of this devotion, that God will reciprocate, and he will. He'll bless in other ways. And we want you to have the book. And they went so far as to say, we're not going to just give the book away. We're going to make sure that we're going to pay for the shipping and handling. Because, sometimes you can get a free book, you got to pay for shipping and handling. That's not the case. Nada. No strings, no shipping, no handling, no strings attached. It's yours absolutely free. Today has been an extraordinary day. I mean, the response was overwhelming at 3 o'clock. Jake, what's the story with the web? Where are we now?
I mean, the website, you can go to relevantradio.com and get the free copy right now. But Drew, within the past hour, it just shows how many people are saying yes to mercy. How many people believe in this message and want to share it with their loved ones? So it literally did shut down the website server for a little bit, and everything's good to go now. So you can go to relevantradio.com, grab the book. But I'm just so encouraged to see thousands of people already getting the book. That is good news, and it's so much hope for our church right now.
It is. That's a victory. Satan suffered a loss. He suffered a loss today when this book came out. And I'll tell you, it's a victory for Divine Mercy. I love it. It's yours free, relevantradio.com. Go there now. And please tell your friends, your family, share on social media. No strings attached. You'd be foolish not to get this. Maybe your son's going off to college or your husband's lukewarm in the faith. Have him read this. You don't know the conversions that are going to be brought about as a result of this book. And you don't know how miracles are going to unfold because somebody had the opportunity to get this in their hands. All right, I only have a few minutes. Who's up next, Jake? Who are we going to next? Joanne in Portland, Maine. Hey, Joanne, good afternoon.
A day to celebrate, Drew.
Amen.
Congratulations.
Amen. Thank you.
I am one of your original Divine Mercy intercessors. I remember that Monday that you launched it. I think it's coming up on 3 years, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so awesome that you remember that. Yes, and that's a great thing to talk about, too. For those who don't know, you can go to relevantradio.com. I think it's /mercy, I think. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me here. Or just go to the Faith tab, and you can sign up to become a Divine Mercy intercessor. And all we ask is that you pray a little bit outside of the normal chaplet, and then you get masses offered for you throughout the day. We are part of a spiritual community that prays for each other wherever we are. I love it. Thank you for doing that, Joanne. It's awesome. I hope you're going to get the book. I hope you got through already because I want you to have it.
Oh, it was no problem at all, and I've already sent it to four friends from Maine to Denver to San Diego.
Well,
I think your friend Father Serafin is cheering today.
Joanne, I love it. You know what? I've called upon him. I really believe, and we talked about this in the past, how those who lived lives of heroic virtue, we should call upon. And this was the man who was responsible for bringing mercy to the country and spreading it. And he was there for the beatification miracles, and he helped with it. He was the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina. I entrusted the project to him, and I think you are so right. It's funny you said that. It's a confirmation for me from him that he is interceding in a special way. That's awesome. Joanne, thank you.
That's
good
right.
to talk with you. Always good having you.
Good to talk to you. Keep celebrating.
Thank you, Joanne. God bless you. All right, it's yours, relevantradio.com. I only have a few minutes here. Let's go to, who's up next, Jake? Anne-Marie in New York. Anne-Marie, welcome.
Hi, Drew. Congratulations.
Hey.
And may
Thanks.
God bless you abundantly.
Thank you so much.
My story for Divine Mercy is my prayer was that I get to pray my mom's last chaplet with her.
Wow.
And around 2 o'clock in the morning in hospice, she started to decline. I was praying the chaplet till 4 o'clock through the hour of mercy, and I had the first class relic of Faustina with
me.
Wow,
what a blessing.
And she passed away at 4:15.
Oh, well, I'm sorry for your loss.
So I got to pray her last chaplet with her.
What a gift.
Thank you.
God bless you, and thank you, Anne-Marie. And again, my heart goes out to anyone who's lost a parent. It's just so, so difficult, especially a mother. But what a comfort. It was a comfort for me to pray both the rosary and the chaplet. I would alternate between the rosary and the chaplet for my father as he passed away. I know Our Lady came. I know her merciful son came. And I want you to learn about the chaplet. I mean, we prayed every day, but there's so many promises to it. There's so much history behind it. The way it came, what the young school kid saw when Faustina had this apparition that made it more than an internal vision, but really a visit from Jesus Christ himself. I tell that story in this book. It's at relevantradio.com or your mobile app. Sign up. It's free. And like others, share it with others. Tell friends and family. And tell others. Call now. Don't call, but use the web to get it. Have them sign up for the book. We'll send it right to their door, whether they're in Alaska or they're in Florida. It doesn't matter. We'll get it out. All right. So where are we going to now, Jake? Is it Gloria in Houston? Gloria, welcome. Good to have you joining me in warm Houston,
yes.
I guess. Warm and sunny Houston.
Yes. Hi, Drew.
Hey.
How are you? Yes, I wanted to since I say the Divine Mercy since a while, long time, and since I've been listening to you and daily and the Relevant Radio, I have a prayer of thanksgiving since my brother, he had the COVID-19 and he was in the ICU and everything.
Yeah.
But he's been cured from that, and now he's going back home and recovering from it. And and for everything that is that he is doing for us, me.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
Gloria, thank you for calling.
I'm saying the daily, yes.
You're praying daily with us here? Are you praying the chaplet every day?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us in prayer, because, it's not just my prayers and yours, but we have our spiritual family here, and I can't tell you how many souls are crying out to God. And I think that's why we see so many miracles.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'll continue to pray for you too, but thank you for calling in. What a beautiful testimony.
Yeah.
All right. God bless you, Gloria. Let me go to Maria in Tempe, Arizona, and then I might have to just take a short pause. Maria, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Congratulations on the book.
Thanks, Maria.
I wanted to tell you a quick story. I'm brand new to the Divine Mercy Chaplet prayer.
Oh, wow.
And my brother tragically died last year, and we had to move his furniture from his old apartment.
Yeah.
And the furniture movers knew of what we were going through as a family, and all of a sudden, the furniture mover said, you know what? Pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and it will help you.
Wow.
And I looked at him, and I said, really? What is it? What can it do? I mean, I'll do whatever you say. He's like, trust me. If you pray it, it will help you and your family. So I just wanted to share that story.
That was an angel. Angel speaking to you. I love it, telling you to pray this beautiful prayer. I love it. Well, thank you for calling. I'm going to take a pause. Let's get back into some other programming, some other things I want to talk to you about. There's a great conversion story I want to share with you when we come back. Not Divine Mercy related, but who knows? Maybe the prayers for this particular soul brought about that conversion. In the book, there's a section that I write about where I talk about conversion. I know you might have a loved one away from the faith. You know, I'll tell you what, that's a prayer God always hears and answers, always hears and answers. So this is a book of conversion as well. I've got to take a break. If you want it and you're just joining me, my new book on Divine Mercy came out and it's yours. We want to give it to you absolutely 100% free. 100% free. I'll even pay the shipping and handling. No strings attached. Okay, nothing. I just want you to have this book on mercy. I want you to know about mercy. I want you to love it like I love it. I want you to share it with others. I want you to be transformed by it. I want to rejoice with you in the next life because we've come to know God's mercy and spread it to others. Go now. Go in this very moment. Wherever you are, don't wait. Today is the day. Get on board. 877, I can't give you a telephone number. Only the web and only the mobile app, okay? Only ways you can get it. Relevantradio.com, best place to get it. And we'll pay for everything. It's just go there now, and it's going to be on its way to you. We'll get it to you when it comes back from the printer and gets shipped. You'll get it, okay? So relevantradio.com or Relevant Radio on the mobile app. And just click on the banner. I know there's a banner there for the new book. It's all yours. And I'm so happy to give it to you. I'm so grateful to Relevant for partnering with me and saying, yes, let's get it into the hands of all of our listeners. We've done so much to spread divine mercy. This is just another layer of it. And I know God's going to bless us. And I am positive he's going to bless you.
But I want to talk about atheism because it's been one of the...
Why? It's so boring.
All right, so...
So boring. Just a couple of people wrong in a room being very angry on the internet.
I sense you almost think that atheists don't exist, that there's some
No. Unfortunately, there are. Unfortunately, there are atheists.
So there are atheists. You acknowledge that there are people...
There are lots of wrong people in the world, you know, and one of the wrong kinds of wrong people are atheists.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you know who said that to the Rubin Report? Someone who now apparently is getting a lot of headlines because he says he's no longer gay. Milo Yiannopoulos, conservative Christian who's taken one step closer to the truth. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. Thanks for being with me today. I want to share this story. I believe in second chances. I believe in conversion. And I believe in the mercy of God. I do. I really do. I want to talk a little bit about Milo. Before I do, just very quickly, if you're just joining me, great news. Jake was just telling me the website is fired up and ready for you. You can go to relevantradio.com right now and sign up for my book. It is absolutely free. It's called Divine Mercy. That's the title of it. Simple, right? Simple, humble, straightforward. Divine Mercy, and it is yours 100% free. No shipping, no handling, nothing. I'll tell you more about it coming up. But let's talk about Milo. You know, one of the claims that we often see in the culture, right, the LGBTQ lobby is that, you know, your sexual orientation, well, it's just like your race. You know, it's immutable. You can't change that. You can't change the pigment of your skin. You can't change your sexuality. Of course, that's what everyone once said about sex as well. You're either male or female. You can't change that, right? You were born a man. You were born a woman. Well, now you can change that, right? Now it's you can be whatever you want to be. That's why when this right-wing provocateur, a guy named Milo Yiannopoulos, he did an interview with LifeSite News the other day. He came out, he made some pretty bold claims. He says, look, I'm an ex-gay. You know, he reduced that quote, and he basically said, you know, he's reduced his, quote, husband, he says, to the level of a housemate, and that we should be rethinking what is called conversion therapy. And, of course, the left went bananas. They went crazy. Here's a couple of headlines from the gay press, okay? Milo Yiannopoulos declares himself ex-gay and wants to rehabilitate conversion therapy. Seriously? Here's another one. Milo Yiannopoulos claims he's now ex-gay in latest grift, end of quote. And this news comes after he was kicked off a couple college campuses where riots broke out because of his mere presence. But what's really interesting about his interview is that he's doing a consecration to St. Joseph. I love that. In this, the year of St. Joseph. You know, look, I believe in second chances. I believe in conversion. Bravo. Can you imagine the impact this man will have on others who are not finding fulfillment in that lifestyle? And he's turned to a man who embraced chastity himself, St. Joseph. You know, and that's not something you would expect from somebody who's just trying to provoke someone. I don't know whether it's a real deal. I pray to God it is. So this raises the question of whether or not the gay lobby and what they claim is true, and that you can change, you know, you can't change your sexual orientation. Let's talk about it. This is an issue I know might hit home for some of you very closely. I do want to better understand this, and I do want to talk with Matthew Seba today. He is a licensed professional counselor in Tyler, Texas, and the therapies that he uses are with the belief that addiction disorders, they can be treated more effectively and more gently and faster than conventional psychotherapy and traditional cognitive behavior approaches. And he received training from world-renowned marriage and family therapist David Pickup. And he's one of the foremost experts also in the field of sexual identity issues. So if you want to check Matt out, you can find him at talkabouthope.com. Talkabouthope.com, that's his website. Matthew, thank you for your time. Good to have you here with me today. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I'm on the fence. Several people call me and ask me about this guy, Milo. What do you think? Think it's a real deal? I'm like, I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I pray to God it is. I think it's great. I think he could be a profound influence. Milo's going to be hit, and he's going to be hit hard with the claim that he, you know, you can't be ex-gay. If you're gay, you're gay. Address that issue if you could. Is it possible for a person to change his sexual orientation?
Well, the first thing I like to say is, who are these activists that they can tell Milo what he feels?
Right.
How do they know? Are they inside of his head? Are they inside of his home monitoring right. everything? Like, what right do they have to say that he can or can't change?
Right.
So that's the first thing. That's what the activists do, though. They're not interested in science. They're not interested in research and the rights of individuals to choose how they want to live their lives. They just want to tell people to push an agenda. They want to say, hey, you have unwanted same-sex attraction. You're not allowed to try to live your own life how you want. Mm-hmm. And so they're just trying to shut down people who exist in that realm.
Right.
Now, for many people, this is a possibility to be able to experience a diminishing effect or even a complete elimination of unwanted same-sex attraction. Basically, the model that I work under and that has been proven to me in my clinical experience is that everybody is born heterosexual, and that the same-sex attraction is a symptom that there were some serious emotional traumas or neglect in childhood. Generally, it's the components to it are an absent or weak father and an overbearing mother. So it's basically God's design for marriage and the family flipped on its head.
Wow.
Where you have mom who's dominating and dad is more passive, more weak. But I have seen over and over and over with clients who experience a complete elimination of their same-sex attraction. And some of them are experiencing some attraction toward women.
Wow.
Some of them are already in relationships with women. They experience the same-sex attraction, even though they're married.
So how does that work?
I mean, a lot of people are just happy with just the diminishment of the same-sex attractions and decide they want to go on and live their lives, and that's great.
Right. That makes sense. It's a million-dollar question. I'm sure a lot of people are turning the radio up right now. How does that work? How do you go from, you know, having the strong sexual orientation and desire to suddenly, you know, the needle literally pointing in the other direction? You go from same-sex attraction to the opposite sex. What's the therapy like? How does it work? How do you reorient somebody like that? Because that's a really hopeful message for some people to say, gosh, this is really difficult for me, and I wish I wasn't born this way. I wish I didn't feel this way. Maybe explain that. I mean, where can people turn for help and just give us some insight?
Sure. So, and with regard to born this way, I've only had one client out of the hundreds and hundreds that I've worked with who ever said that they even thought that maybe they were born this way.
Oh, wow. How interesting.
Every single client I ask first thing, first session, or within the first session, what is your belief about the origin of your same-sex attraction?
Wow.
And every single time except one was, I feel like this was something from the relationship with my dad or something early on in childhood, but I was not born this way. They all said that it's some, with the exception of one, that it was some kind of childhood environmental nurturing rather than a nature thing. But this therapy, basically we take, instead of the disease model of you're going to live with this for the rest of your life, kind of the AA model, and you just have to maintain sobriety every day. Rather than that, we seek to actually heal those underlying wounds of the same-sex attraction. So let's say, for example, sexual abuse is one of the biggest targets to hit. It's one of the easiest things to identify because it's so intensely traumatizing, and it's very, very confusing for the individual because not only do they experience the emotional trauma, the shame from the sexual abuse, but they also very often experience some kind of pleasure while also having that abuse. So they experience the pleasure and the abuse because they're private parts that are built to be stimulated when they're acted upon, they have a reaction. So then they experience shame because of that stimulation. Oh, wow. So you have shame on top of pleasure on top of shame. So we use some procedures in reintegrative therapy, and one specifically called them is transformation therapy, where we do a series of visualization and breathing techniques to basically, sounded a little bit weird to me when I started, but after using it thousands of times, it's unbelievably effective. To basically use breathing and visualization to clear out all these painful feelings, the shame, everything else, and to clear out that pleasure feeling out of the body and eliminate the painful emotional charge from those painful memories and the positive, the pleasurable emotional charge from those memories. So that's one of the most impactful experiences in therapy that a client will have, most likely with regard to same-sex attraction, is just the healing up of that sexual abuse. It has basically the biggest bang for the buck.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
They say, hey, I don't experience this anymore. I don't feel anything about this sexual abuse. It's something in the past. It's something that doesn't belong to me. I don't feel it anymore. I don't have a reaction to it. That's what they say when we're done with those exercises.
It's pretty amazing how the brain works as well. I've done shows on pornography and how addictive it is and what it does actually to the brain and things along those lines and neural receptors, et cetera. But, you know, one of the things that this one person found, you know, if you can remove yourself from that imagery for a while, if you can separate yourself from it, you know, I don't know how to put this in the right words, but there's a healing that takes place. I don't know whether it's a rewiring, but the desire, the compulsion to indulge in that diminishes pretty drastic. I'm sure it's very hard as you're weaning off of it because it's as addictive as any other drug is. But when you give enough time and distance, there's something that happens, you know, there's some healing that takes place. I'm not saying these are the same things, but is there something in the brain chemistry or something that goes on here as well when you're able to really separate yourself?
Yes. There's a concept called neuroplasticity, basically meaning your brain is plastic. It can be molded. It can be shaped. And so while you are engaged in that activity over and over and over, your brain is being shaped that when you feel, because all of this sexual acting out in harmful ways is not about sex. It's about emotional need fulfillment and seeking emotional need fulfillment. So when you feel that shame or abandonment or rejection or whatever, you're training your brain that when I feel this feeling, I need to go act out. And so a lot of people report that it feels like they're on autopilot. Like they feel this and boom, they're automatically on the computer looking at pornography. They have trained their brains that when they feel that shame to go to the computer. Now you can over time through abstinence, untrain your brain or retrain your brain so that it disconnects from that pornography. The difference in this is that, this same therapy works on pornography addiction, sexual addiction, a whole host of other things. It's amazing. But what we're doing is disconnecting the emotional connection from not only the pornography addiction or the sexual acting out, but also the underlying trauma. So let's say, for example, if you're going to the computer to look at porn because of a feeling of connection, so you feel connected when you're doing that, then I'll ask, when was a time early in your life where you felt disconnected? And they'll say, oh, when I was at an 8-year-old birthday party and everyone else got to go on the skating rink and I had to sit out because I had a broken leg. You go, wow, okay, that was interesting. And so we'll use that and heal up that feeling or any other feelings that are directly attributed to or correlated with these pornography addictions. And then they're not feeling those moments of shame in the same way, and their brain is no longer experiencing that desire to go to the pornography use.
Wow. All right, let's just grab a call. I have a moment or two. We'll go to Deborah listening in Indianapolis. Deborah, hi. You're on the air with Matthew Seba. Welcome.
Hi, Drew. Yeah, I wanted to know what Matthew thought of. There is a television star, and he and his partner just adopted a young baby boy. And it was in the media that he and his partner have decided to raise this baby boy gay. Now, if what the theory is that you are born one way or another, how in the world do you go ahead and justify that you're going to raise a child gay if the child hasn't, and it's a baby, hasn't determined whether or not it's gay or not? I mean, don't you find that that's a little bit hypocritical?
That's quite a question. That's an excellent point, that if you're born gay, then it doesn't matter if they try to raise the child straight or gay, as they would say. If the child was born straight, no efforts they make would make the child gay then. You're absolutely right. That's it's a completely hypocritical point that they're making. But it's a really sad thing that they're losing this child, that they're harming this child in this way, because the children experience damage through a variety of different pathologies that are associated with being raised in these kind of two daddies or two moms environments. They experience more anxiety, more depression, adjustment problems, failed relationships, drug abuse, and alcohol abuse, cigarette smoking at a much higher level than kids who are raised in the one mother and one father model. And so we can see that they are being harmed in that. The children deserve not to be harmed in that way.
Yeah. Hey, Deborah, great call. That was a great, great point. My producer was saying to me, you know, we can allow children to choose their gender, but we can't let them read Dumbo or Dr. Seuss today. It's so crazy, the culture that we're in. But the world is targeting, though, children at younger and younger ages. That show in particular, I mean, it's great. It's brilliantly written. You know, there's a lot of humor in that. So, you know, our kids, I think, today are facing greater challenges than they've ever done with ideas about sexual orientation, even transgenderism. You know, why is it so important to this movement that kids believe that they're either homosexual, that there's something wrong with their gender, that they're not what they were born? I mean, what's behind that? What are they trying to do here?
I believe a lot of it is just looking for emotional validation. There are a lot of these activists who really had lost childhoods. They were not treated well by their parents. They're not treated well or accepted by their peers. And so they're kind of, in one way, looking for that lost childhood that they experienced. They want to be loved by the other kids, and they want to be able to play, dress up, and experience all these things because they lost that. But this is definitely not the way to do it. I have a lot of compassion for the people that have been mistreated in childhood, even activists who have been mistreated in such ways. This isn't the way to do that. Using kids to be able to further validate yourself is not the way to do that.
Yeah, well, final thought here, too, if we could. I know we have a short time today. People who have family members dealing with this, how do they approach their child or their sibling?
That's a great question. If you're a parent, you have to make sure that things are put in the right order. So, like, male same-sex attraction is a result of an emotionally absent or weak father and an overbearing mother, like I explained earlier. So, dad, you're going to have to kind of put your feelings aside and really embark on a crusade to win the heart of your son. So that's going to require that whatever your son's interests are, you're taking delight in his interests, not trying to make him conform to yours. You're listening to your son. You're asking him questions about what it's like being him. Validate his feelings. Even if you may disagree, just listen and validate his feelings. Wow, yeah, I understand that you're feeling really frustrated. And mom, if you have any kind of anxiety or passive aggression or an anger issues, dad, you might have to intervene. Take a hit. You know, if mom may be a little bit overbearing on you too, if you don't do what mom wants you to do, you may have to say, okay, I'm going to take this hit to be able to protect the heart of my son if mom has an anger problem. Mom, defer to dad so that your son is better able to connect with masculinity and see that in himself. So, but anybody who's in contact with family members or friends who experience that same sex attraction, just listen and validate. That's one of the best things you can do, and very, very simple.
Well, you know, if you want more information, go to talkabouthope.com. That's your site, right? People can get connected to you there.
That's it.
Well, Matthew, thank you. I'll be back. Today we have a slightly amended schedule just because I was involved in a big book release. This is an important issue, and I'm just grateful for your perspective today. Thanks so much for being here, and keep up your great work. We'll put a link up for your website, talkabouthope.com. Have a great one, okay?
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Matthew. That's Matthew Seba, licensed professional counselor there in Tyler, Texas. And we will put up his website, talkabouthope.com. I have to take a short break. I'm going to be right back. We can talk about a lot more. In fact, if you're just tuning into the show today for the first time, you might have missed what I announced earlier today. I want to bring you up to speed on something that's incredibly exciting, and we can talk. Feel free to join me, too. You know, phones are always open for you. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Ask and you shall receive. That's what Jesus said, and that's just what we do at Mass. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 20th Lenten lesson on the Mass. After the homily and the creed come the prayers of the faithful. As Pope Benedict XVI observed, we are at our most attentive in prayer when we're asking God for something or thanking Him. The prayers of the faithful are not mandatory at every Mass, but why miss an opportunity to get something from God for yourself or for others? The priest introduces and closes the prayers of the faithful, while the reader announces the various intentions and invites the congregation to pray by saying, "We pray to the Lord," and the people respond, "Lord, hear our prayer." There's an order to the petitions, starting with universal needs of the church and moving down to local needs, often mentioning by name the sick and recently deceased in the parish.
Mass with Father Rocky, noon central.
And join us for class after Mass. Hi, I'm Cale Clark. It's The Faith Explained, 12:30 central every day on Relevant Radio.
It's The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Facts and faith over fear.
All right, great to be here with you today. Hey, if you are just joining me, you know, I always try to give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. You know, lots of different views, but I always try to give it to you through a moral perspective, I'm a Catholic, through my Catholic lens, if you will. And I think that's a great platform to stand on. It's a great lens to look through, if you will, when it comes to everything from gun control to immigration to same-sex attraction, whatever it may be, right? In addition to some of the issues that we deal with, that we face in the culture, I just feel privileged and humbled and honored to be able to talk about my faith and to share it with you. And a big part of my spirituality, I'm very Eucharistic. I believe in adoration and the Eucharist and daily communicate. I believe in the power of the rosary. I pray that I have a deep Marian devotion. I have a deep devotion to the souls in purgatory. But I'll tell you, of all the things, you know, right up there with Our Lady, this message of divine mercy, it just transformed my life. It transformed my life. And, you know, we all have a mission in life. I've interviewed many people with near-death experiences, many. And quite often they come back and they realize this. And those who've been given a second chance or have returned, their life radically changes because they recognize that everybody you encounter, everything you do, it has an impact. But God created you for purpose. He created you for a mission. And I believe God wanted me to introduce to others this message of mercy. I'm just a messenger. That's all I am. You know, I am not a foremost expert. I'm just a humble guy who's fallen in love with the fastest grassroots movement in the history of the church. God reached out to me when I was young, man. I was a young filmmaker, and I was introduced to the venerable Helen Kowalska. She wasn't St. Faustina at the time, or, you know, the venerable Faustina. That was her birth name. And I was there for her beatification, and I was with the vice postulator for her cause, who I think is one day going to be a saint, too. The man was unbelievable. And I did a documentary on divine mercy. And I said recently, and at 3 o'clock I mentioned this, I just wrote a book. And it's absolutely free. If you're just tuning in, you can get it for free. We're going to even pay for the shipping and handling. There's no strings attached. None. Zero. Zero, zero, zero. No strings. Absolutely free. It'll show up in your mailbox or on your door. And I hope you'll get it by going to relevantradio.com. So the book is called Divine Mercy. That's all. It's so simple. We battled over this title for a while. right? We battled over what the title, but we had whiteboards, we had 300 different titles going. And I, in the end, I just thought, let's just be very simple. This is a book about divine mercy, and it's a 101. If you don't know about this devotion, this will tell you everything you need to know. You'll see how God's mercy touches serial killers, how the most hardened heart can be changed by God's mercy. You'll learn about this extraordinary saint, Saint Faustina. She had encounters with Jesus when she was young. She saw him beaten, you know, and bloodied. She had all sorts of mystical encounters, have suffered the invisible stigmata, was visited by Jesus himself on numerous occasions, sometimes as the resurrected Lord, sometimes in disguise. It's all in the book. You'll learn all about it. You'll learn about the power of the chaplet and what the Lord promised. This is a prayer you should pray every day, no question. The Lord talked about a special hour, the hour of mercy. He talked about the protection that comes with the image of divine mercy and what happens to those who venerate it. He gave us the Feast of Mercy. There's so much in this book. It's unbelievable. And it's easy to read. You read one chapter. You can jump around in the book. It's kind of a 101. But I think it'll inspire you. And I've put everything. I didn't put everything I know. Here's part of the problem. They limited me to 140 pages. Okay, that's all I could write. And that was the battle for me. I'm a radio talk show host. I'm verbose, right? So imagine me trying to restrain my words on paper. Difficult. But I'll tell you what. I think the best of the best is here. And it's yours. I want you to have it. Please do it. And please pick it up. The Lord's, back to what happened. So I went to Relevant Radio, and I said to them, look, I want to do a book on divine mercy. They wanted me to do a book. And I said, you know, this is so dear to my heart. And I've given speeches. I've written talks. I've done all sorts of things on divine mercy, right? Documentaries. I've prayed it and talked about it for years. So it was not hard to do. I mean, it was pretty simple to get this thing cranked out. There were so many stories and information that I wanted to share with you. I get in the book, and it was done. We say, oh, we came up with a cover, and the cover's spectacular. Oh, my gosh, the cover could not be better. Brendan, thank you for your design. One of my colleagues here at the network. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we decided that we wanted to give this away for free, that, you know, we could put a price tag on it and put it up and let people get it, but we feel the message of God's mercy should be free for everybody. It's God's mercy is freely given. And we want this book to be freely given. I want you to have it. I know God's going to give back to me. God has been more than generous to me in my life. You know, he surprises me, beautiful wife and family and children and so many experiences in my life. I mean, I can't sing the praises of God enough. But I wanted to give back, and I know God will give back to me. Yeah, maybe he'll give back temporally. That'd be great. Maybe spiritually. That's what's most important. But I want you to have it, and I want you to do this with it. It's yours. If you sign up, just go to relevantradio.com or you go to the mobile app. This is going to be the best gift you gave yourself this Lent. I'm telling you, it's going to be the best gift you gave yourself this Lent. And if you read it, give it to somebody else. Or have your son sign up. Have your husband sign up. Have your coworkers. Have your church sign up. For everyone who signs up, the book will get sent to you, and there's no shipping. So I'd go to my parish and say, hey, Father, why don't you ask everybody in the parish here on Sunday to sign up for this Divine Mercy book, and it'll get shipped right to their home. Doesn't cost the parish a dime. Doesn't cost the parish a dime, right? But have them go to relevantradio.com, and the book will get sent to them. And then they'll have all they need to know about Divine Mercy, especially for the great Feast of Mercy, which is coming up 8 days after Easter. It's the octave of Easter, really. It's the final. It's the Sunday after Easter. And there are some unbelievable promises in that devotion there. So, look, here's how you get it. RelevantRadio.com. RelevantRadio.com. Zero cost. Absolutely free. No shipping. No handling. No strings attached. It's my gift to you. I say to you all the time, I feel connected to you. And I know that might sound weird, but I pray for you every day. This morning at Mass, as I knelt before the Lord, I prayed for you. I pray multiple chaplets a day because of the promises and the power I've seen, the miracles that have unfolded through that prayer. You're in every one of those. I'm always asking you, my spiritual family, that God will be merciful to you. You know, you're there with me. And this is my gift to you. I mean, I love talking. You know, during these pledge drives, I come to you, I ask you to help, and so often you humble me with your generosity. I'm always amazed at how charitable this family is. It's incredible to me. I don't want to get too sappy here, but I mean, I mean that. I really do. I feel connected spiritually. And, you know, we were chosen to live at this moment in time, you and I. We're chosen by God for this particular time. And you and I one day will be united in perfect unity in the next life. You know, God willing, we pass this great test called life. So what's an instrument? What's a tool for your toolbox? What's a gift that you can give yourself? What's a gift you can give to your husband or your wayward child or that sibling of yours that's angry at God or that person who's been in confession a long time or that person who just has problems praying? You give them this book, Divine Mercy. Okay, get them to sign up or you sign up under the email for them and give it to them. Okay, Divine Mercy. That's the title of it. And I'm telling you, you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. And I want to send a shout out here, too. I mean, we earlier today when I announced it at 3 o'clock, there was such volume. So many people said, I want the book. They went online to get it. And a lot of people are calling the network. You can't call the network. Suzanne and Rose, let me just send a giant thank you to both of you. They've been inundated. My colleague, Rose, she's been here for years. She was getting ready to leave top of the hour, the last hour, right? She's still there taking calls, you know, and if you want to go ahead and you want to go ahead and get the book, it's yours. Don't call her though right now, please. Simple, relevantradio.com or go use the mobile app. And my colleague Brendan just texted me back. He said, hey, congratulations. Thanks for the mention. This guy is unbelievably talented. I want to talk about the cover for a moment because in the book, there are quotes, there's information on the diary, there are pictures. In fact, we're going to give you a Divine Mercy image. You can take this out, you can frame it. This is something every home should have, is a Divine Mercy image. And this is a really beautiful image. It is the one that Faustina had painted. So when you get this book for free, right, you also get this image for free. In fact, I share a couple stories in the book about the protection for those who venerated the image. The Lord gave great promises about this. You may not know about it. In fact, there's tremendous parallels between the Sacred Heart devotion and this. It's pretty crazy. But, Brendan, thank you. Your work is spectacular. I mean, it really is. It is unbelievable. I've seen a lot of books on Divine Mercy. I've seen a lot of covers. The artwork on this is bar none, the best. I mean, it is elegant. It is beautiful. And you know what? In this case, as my producer Jake said, you can truly judge a book by its cover. I love that, Jake. That's excellent. You can judge a book by its cover. This cover is one of the most beautiful I've seen. Absolutely love it. There's a power in it. You know why? Because the image of Divine Mercy is on this. And there's an anointing with that image. There's a promise with that image. There's a power with that image. I really, really want you to get this. And again, relevantradio.com. I only have a few minutes left. If you want to call me too, let me open the phones. I would love to hear from you. How's Divine Mercy touched your life? I only have about 7 minutes left with you today. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk much more, but give me a call. 888-914-9149. 888, it's toll free. 914-9149. We can talk. In this book, you're going to discover the power, the promises of this extraordinary gift from heaven, the chaplet, the hour of mercy, the image of mercy, the feast of mercy. I detail it all so you'll know it. You can share it with others. You can tap into it. I take advantage of all of those promises the Lord gave us every day. And I can't wait for the feast of mercy. You'll learn what St. Faustina said about his second coming. You know, the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina's canonization, Father Seraphim Michelangelo, he just died, and I believe he's interceding in a special way for this book. He told me, look, the revelation of Divine Mercy really is about preparing the world for the second coming of our Lord. What's that mean? Well, we don't know when that's going to be, of course, right? But the Lord told St. Faustina, I have chosen you to be the secretary of my mercy. Before I come as a just judge, I first come as a merciful Savior. He wanted to prepare the world for his return. I share what Faustina encountered, what she encountered during her visits to heaven, to hell, to purgatory, her encounters with the angels. So you'll be inspired by the miracle in the Hudson. Do you know what happened during the miracle in the Hudson? Divine Mercy played a role, I believe, in the saving of that plane. I share some of that story in here as well. So this is my gift to you. This is Relevant's gift to you. Relevant and I went into this hand in hand. You know, I could have written this independently. I could have distributed it through other channels. I could have done a whole lot of other things. That's not what I want to do. And I know that's not what Relevant wanted. We said, look, we're in it together. Let's give it away, and let's see how God blesses us. And as an apostle, let's see how God blesses those who receive it. In fact, this whole chaplet of Divine Mercy, I told the founder of the network when I first joined Relevant Radio, I said, you got to put the chaplet of Divine Mercy on. And prayer doesn't work in talk radio. I mean, who's going to sit down and listen to rote prayer, right? It's kind of boring. I said, look, you got to put it on. I said, if you do that, you'll be blessed, because anybody who spreads the message of mercy will be blessed, and they'll be blessed abundantly. And I said, we're a new network. I said, we have to trust this to the Lord. And he did it. My credit to him. We did it, and you know what happened? Relevant Radio is now reaching 220 million households, and he's going ahead, and he's, now we're heard around the world thanks to the internet. Please don't call the network. Okay, I mean, just want to say that clearly. Please don't call. Do not call the front desk. Do not call Relevant or the studio, because unless you want to come on the air with me. But other than that, we just only have two people on the phones here. You won't be able to get the book on the phone. You can't get it that way. You've got to go ahead and go to relevantradio.com, or if you have the mobile app, go there. Okay, maybe have a loved one help you, and maybe use somebody else's email address or have them get the book for you. Say, hey, can you go to Relevant Radio and do this? You can do it when I go off the air too. You can go throughout the night. It's going to be here. I'm going to remind you about it. But if you can get it now, be at the top of the line, okay? Be some of the first who said, Drew, the day I heard you mention that book, the day of the release, I came on. I'm the one who signed up, because you're going to get that book, just call. Don't call me here in the studio, 877. Let me redo that. 888-914-9149. How about just don't call? How about just don't call? I'll take one call. How's that here in the studio? Let me go to Matt in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Hey, man.
It's the first time that I've spoken with you.
Oh, great.
Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I ordered your book online, and I'm sending it. I live in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, and I'm sending it to my granddaughter in Massachusetts.
Awesome. What a great idea.
So, yeah, and they ask a lot of information. Like email address. Well, I gave my email address instead of hers.
Well, that's perfect.
I didn't have hers
yet. Yeah, but you could ship it anywhere you want. I love that. You know what? And I'll tell you what, Matt, she'll be blessed by it. And I think that's a great suggestion. First of all, I'm glad this is the first time you're calling me. I hope you'll call back again. Join our conversation. Pray with us. Don't be a stranger here. But why did you send it to your granddaughter? Was there a reason in particular? Does she need God's mercy, or what's happening?
Oh, she's 16 years old, and she's having a lot of troubles.
Yeah, all right, well, good.
And I keep trying to, I pray for her regularly, and I keep trying to encourage her. And I thought she might, I think she likes to read, and she likes to write, I know that. So
that's good.
I thought this might be the Lord's inspiration to send her something that will be relevant.
Well, I love it. St. Faustine.
Like Relevant Radio, right?
No, it's a good read. I mean, it's a simple read. It really is. Not complicated. It's not churchy. It's not theological. It's not, has our faith integrated throughout it. But I think she'll enjoy it. She'll learn about Faustina. Faustina only had a third grade education. She could barely write, yet one day she might be a doctor in the church. And you hear how mercy changes lives. Maybe she'll pick up the chaplain. But Matt, thank you. I got to leave it there. I got a minute. Thank you for joining me.
Okay.
And thanks for doing that. It's a great suggestion, because I hope others will do what you did, Matt. I hope they'll take, this book, and when they're done reading it, share it with somebody else. Or maybe have, if you're living in Chicago right now, or L.A., or you're in Florida, or Houston, or wherever you're listening to me right now, Minnesota, wherever you are, and you got loved ones in other parts of the country, tell them, sign up. Say, get this free book. I want you to have it. You could do it like Matt did it, but why don't you have them sign up? Say, hey, look, please do this. Maybe it's a sibling. You can say, hey, give it to, or maybe it's somebody cohabitating or living with somebody that's away from the faith. Say, hey, make sure they put this in the hands. Leave it at the house. I mean, use it as an evangelical, missionary evangelizing tool. Get your copy and drop it off with somebody. Leave it with that person who's, when they sit down and they pick it up and they begin to read it, they're going to be intrigued. I'm telling you. See, here's the thing. It's more than just a literary work. That's not what this is about. I think there's an anointing on the book. I think God's grace flows through his messages. And the words of Jesus Christ himself are in this book, and what he says and what he promises. I tell you, I am super pumped. I am so happy, and I am just delighted that I can give it to you. I'm out of time for the day, though, and I just want to leave you with this thought. You can still get it later. Use your social media. Evangelize today. Put this into the hands of as many people as you can, and also sign up right now if you haven't. You can do it on the mobile app, or you can go to relevantradio.com. Please don't call. Just use the internet, relevantradio.com, or the mobile app. And if you can't get online, maybe ask a friend. Have the neighbor, have your friend or coworker, whatever it is. They'll help you through it. Have them sign up as well, okay? My gift to you today, the only thing I ask is your prayers. I need them. I can certainly use them. And I'm just so happy to be able to share this aspect of my spirituality and of the church with you. It's going to be a wonderful work. You'll be glad you have it. I'm proud of it. And I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to appreciate it. I'm out of time. Pray for me, okay? RelevantRadio.com or the mobile app. Get Divine Mercy now.